Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. This is the promise that we proclaim on this day, and it is a promise that has been proclaimed among faithful people since that very first Easter morning. And it is a proclamation that we're going to hear a few more times this morning. So I want you all to be paying attention as we go through the service, because every time you hear the words, Christ is risen, I want you to respond with, Christ is risen indeed. And in my tradition I came from, we added an alleluia at the end. So if I hear a couple alleluias at the end, that would be fine. So Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Let us worship God. We sing our opening hymn, hymn 410. Jesus Christ is risen today. Alleluia. Our call to prayer this morning comes from Psalm 118. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let us pray. God of resurrection and new life, We gather today to celebrate and give you thanks, for in the wonder of this day and in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you assure us beyond any doubt that your love does indeed endure forever. Lord, in the empty tomb, we bear witness to the reality that your love has overcome the power of death, the reality that your hope has overcome our despair, and the reality that your care overwhelms our fears and breaks the boundaries that we build between ourselves and between others. In the promise of the resurrection, we see that your belief in humanity and your love for each of us puts to shame the ways in which we separate ourselves from you and from one another. So on this Easter day, as you welcome us into your presence, we ask that you bring hope where there is fear. We ask that you would bring new life where relationships between individuals and peoples are broken. As we stand in the promise of your empty tomb, we bring to you those ways that we still hold back from stepping into the hope of the resurrection. We confess the ways that we cling to our possessions rather than sharing what we have with others. We confess the ways that we place values on ideas or ideals rather than on the people that you call us to love. We confess the ways that we fail to give the same grace to ourselves that we may freely give to others. Gracious God, on the cross and in the resurrection, you assure us that nothing can separate us from your love. As you stood with Mary in the garden, stand with each of us. Help us each to hear and receive the promise of your forgiveness, and enable us to live into a future that is defined by your gift of new life and filled with your unending love. And help us at all times to proclaim with confidence, indeed, that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. So again, a very warm welcome to all of you this lovely Easter morning. Everyone made it in before the downpour that I was watching at the start of the service, so God is with us in that way. That's good. Everyone is invited to a further time of fellowship in the parish halls following the service, where tea and coffee and some biscuits will be served, so we hope you can make it to that as well. And also, next week, there's an Easter holiday club at Park Church. It'll happen from Monday the 13th of April to Wednesday the 15th of April, 10 to 12:30 in the day, and you can register online for that on the website or take a leaflet from either vestibule in the church. And I believe that is all the intimations I have for this morning. So if any children are here who would like to come forward for the all-age talk, I'll invite you up at this time. And if you're on the fence about coming forward, I'll just put this up here. If my charm isn't quite enough, then, cream eggs will do it, right? But before the cream eggs, I've got something in my pocket. So I've got a rope with me this morning. You might be wondering, what does a rope have to do with Easter, right? So this rope, I think, kind of represents Jesus' life. Jesus' life, it was pure, it was perfect, clean, and nice as this rope. But during his life, he made a couple knots, and one knot was a good knot. He made the knot of his disciples. So he had friends, and these friends, he tied together, he made a close connection with these friends, and built relationships. So you see that? That's one knot. Another knot, he did wonderful things for people. Jesus healed people, he taught people, he did miracles. All these things were wonderful, but it kind of caused a knot with the people in charge. So he made this other knot and got himself in a little bit of trouble. So people didn't like that. So we have a good knot and a bad knot. Now this knot over here, if you know the story of Easter, during the week, all of Jesus' friends, he spent so much time working to build that connection, the disciples, they abandoned him. And he was cut off from his friends. And then, he did all those wonderful things, but the people, a lot of the authorities, didn't like it very much. So they put him on a cross, and they actually cut off his life. So he was crucified on Good Friday, making a little mess. So it looked like Jesus' life was kind of in pieces, right? His friends had left him. You died on the cross. But what do we celebrate this morning, right? So this knot was the knot, he died on the cross. We celebrate that on Easter morning, that Jesus put things back together, right? He rose from the dead. And the first thing he did when he rose from the dead, he went to his friends and said, I am still with you, right? So we put all of that thing, put it all back together on Easter. You're wondering how I did that. That's a secret. But so Jesus resurrected from the dead, showed us that all the knots in our life, all the things that might cause trouble, Jesus is with us through all those things. And none of those things matter because Christ is always with us in the resurrection, and we know that Christ is with us through everything. So I want you guys to remember that no matter what happens, Jesus is with us, and we're assured of that promise in all that we celebrate this morning. So thank you guys for coming up, and you can have two of those since there's not too many of you. And if there are any children who didn't make it down here for that, or any adults who would like a Cadbury egg, we'll have those afterwards. You're very welcome. Thanks for coming up, guys. We sing together the hymn 413, The Day of Resurrection, Earth, Tell It Out Abroad, hymn 413.
The reading this morning is taken from John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18, and you'll find this on page 98 of the Pew Bible. So that's John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb. She saw that the stone had been moved away from the entrance and ran to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, she said, and we do not know where they have laid him. So Peter and the other disciples set out and made their way to the tomb. They ran together, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and reached the tomb first. He peered in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not enter. Then Simon Peter caught up with him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the napkin which had been round his head, not with the wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. Until then, they had not understood the scriptures, which showed that he must rise from the dead. So the disciples went home again, but Mary stood outside the tomb, weeping. And as she wept, she peered into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. They asked her, "Why are you weeping?" She answered, "They have taken my Lord away, and I do not know where they have laid him." With these words, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not recognize him. Jesus asked her, "Why are you weeping? Who are you looking for?" Thinking it was the gardener, she said, if it is you, sir, who removed him, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said, "Mary." She turned to him and said, "Rabboni," which is Hebrew for teacher. "Do not cling to me," said Jesus, "for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary of Magdala went to the disciples. "I have seen the Lord," she said, and gave them his message. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
We sing together hymn 194. "This is the day that the Lord has made." Hymn 194.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. A happy Easter to you all. This is a wonderful day for the followers of Jesus. It's not only a day when we look back and remember the resurrection. It's also a day when we celebrate Jesus' presence with us in his risen power. This morning, I would like us to reflect on three simple but powerful truths. Because Christ is risen, hope is alive. Love has won, and new life is possible. Firstly, because Christ is risen. Hope is alive. A devout man was caught in a rising flood. He climbed onto his roof and prayed, "Lord, my hope is in you. I know you will save me." A man in a rowing boat came by and shouted, "Jump in, I can help you." But he replied, "No, thank you. My hope is in the Lord. He will save me." Then a motorboat came, "Sir, the water is rising, get in." But again, he refused. Finally, a helicopter hovered overhead and a rope was lowered. "Grab hold," the pilot shouted, but the man waved him away. Eventually, the waters rose and he drowned. When he reached heaven, he said, "Lord, I put my hope in you. Why didn't you save me?" The Lord replied, "Are you having a laugh? I sent you two boats and a helicopter." Hope. Where would we be without it? On Good Friday, hope seemed gone. The disciples were hiding. They were frightened. They were grieving. The tomb in which the body of Jesus had been placed was sealed. It looked like the end. I imagine we know something of how the disciples felt. Perhaps we can think of moments when life seemed to close in on us, when what we trusted collapsed, and we quietly wondered, will things ever feel right again? That's where the disciples were. 3 years earlier, they had left everything to follow Jesus. They believed in him. They loved him. They hoped in him. And then he died. But then came Easter morning. The stone was rolled away, the tomb was empty, and hope was born again. Someone once said, when God rolls away stones, he doesn't just move them a little, he moves them completely. I like that. Can you picture in your mind's eye the woman going to the tomb early on the first Easter morning? They were weeping, they were crying. They were carrying spices used for anointing the dead. But what happened? They left with tears of joy and carrying a message of hope for the living. That is what we, the people of God, celebrate today. Because Jesus lives, hope lives. Even when life feels sealed up tight in the darkness of a tomb, God is not finished. He is still at work. And ultimately, the darkness disperses and the light of a new day dawns. Hope is alive. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
You've been listening. Secondly, because Christ is risen, love has won. The cross is the ultimate expression of love. Jesus gave his life freely, willingly, completely. But the resurrection is the declaration that this love has triumphed. When Jesus cried from the cross, "It is finished," some people thought it was a cry of defeat, of resignation. But it was anything but. It was a cry of victory, signifying the accomplishment of his earthly mission. It is finished. Jesus had completed the work God had sent him to do. I wonder if you've ever tried to love someone who was difficult. I'm not looking for a show of hands, lest it gives rise to further questions later. I heard of one woman who said to her husband, "I love you more than I am annoyed by you," which is saying something. Love can be costly. Love can be exhausting. It can feel like it's making no difference at all. But Easter tells us something profound. Love is stronger than hatred. Love is stronger than sin. Love is stronger even than death. And what a comfort that is to all who mourn today. What looked like defeat on the cross was victory in disguise. And what does that tell us? Every time we forgive, every time we are kind, every time we give a reassuring look or smile, every act of love, no matter how small or insignificant we may think it to be, matters. And it echoes the love God has shown on the cross and in the empty tomb. My friend, in the end, love doesn't just survive. Love wins. Christ is risen. Finally, though you're so attentive, I could go on and on and on. There's so much about the Easter gospel that one can say, but for our purposes today, because Christ is risen, new life is possible. Now, I shared this story many Easters ago. I've been here so long, I think it was 18 years ago, I shared this story. So I'm going to tell it again because I like it. A man runs over a hare. He stops, gets out, and sees it's dead. Another driver pulls up, takes out an aerosol can, and sprays the hare. To everyone's amazement, the hare jumps up, runs a few feet, stops, turns, and waves. Then it runs again, stops, turns, and waves. And so it goes on until it finally disappears. Well, the first man asks, "What on earth is in that can?" The second man reads the label, "Hair Restorer." with a permanent wave. Isn't it good to have a laugh? And if we as Christian people cannot have a laugh on Easter Day, who on earth can? Easter. It's not only about what happened to Jesus. It's about what can happen to us. God's in the business of restoring us and giving us new life. Now, we all like the idea of new life until it actually involves change. And change can be hard. But the good news of Easter is this. New life is not something that we ourselves have to manufacture. It comes from God and His resurrection power at work in us. I really like this time of year. Trees that looked lifeless are budding once again. Fields once bare are now green, and the birds are singing merrily. It's as if creation itself is proclaiming new life is possible. My dear friends, if God can bring new life out of a sealed tomb, He can bring new life into any situation we face. No past is beyond redemption. No heart is beyond healing. No life is beyond renewal. The tomb, meant to be the final chapter, became the beginning of something new and wonderful and exciting. What a change there was in the disciples. On the Friday, their world had fallen apart and they hid in fear from the authorities. But after Sunday, they went out boldly proclaiming the good news that Christ is alive. What had happened? They had encountered the risen Christ and their lives were changed. Easter is God's invitation to you and to me and to all people to new life today. Let's embrace it. Christ is risen. So today, let us hold on to these truths. Because Christ is risen, hope is alive. Because Christ is risen, love has won. Because Christ is risen, new life is possible. So let us go from this place as people of hope, as people of love, as people made new. Christ is risen. Amen. Let us pray. Risen Lord Jesus, we give you thanks on this Easter day that the tomb is empty, that hope is alive, and that love has triumphed. Breathe your new life into us, that we may walk in the light of your resurrection with renewed faith, courage, and joy. Lord Jesus, in your risen presence, we remember before you those who are lonely, those who are sick in body or troubled in spirit, and those who grieve the loss of loved ones. In the power of your rising, surround them with your comfort, strengthen them with your healing, and fill them with your peace. And grant to them and us the quiet assurance that in you death has been overcome and life is made new. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We come now to our baptismal hymn. It is the hymn 411. Hymn 411. Christ the Lord is risen today.
You may be seated. Well, it is a privilege and lovely to welcome Dave and Linda, godparents Laura and Emma and Elizabeth and Jordan, along with family and friends to the church on this wonderful day of celebration. Did I get a name wrong? That's the list I had, so I apologize if I... Matthew, all right. And everybody else is okay, as long as I get Cooper right. That's the... who might sleep through the whole thing, which is lovely. Well, today, as we rejoice in the rising of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, we also rejoice in the new life that God freely offers to each one of us. By water and the Holy Spirit, God claims us as his own, washes us from sin, and sets us free from the power of death. Here we know that we are made one with Christ, crucified and risen, and are called to share in his ministry to the world. In this sacrament, the love of God is offered to each one of us. Though we cannot fully understand or explain it, we are called to accept that love with the openness and trust of a little child. In baptism, Cooper is assured of the love that God has for him, and the sign and the seal of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead, will be placed upon him.
Dave and Linda, it is indeed a joy to welcome you and your family and friends to the church on this Easter Day, a day when the church throughout the whole world proclaims, Christ is risen. What a wonderful day to celebrate a baptism. Now, I have an important question to ask you. In presenting Cooper for baptism, seeking that he may be united with the risen Christ and become part of his church, do you receive and accept the teaching of the Christian faith? Let us pray. We praise you, Lord God of creation, for out of chaos and darkness you brought order and life. We praise you, Lord Jesus Christ, for through your death and glorious resurrection you have saved us from our sins and delivered us from the power of death. We praise you, Holy Spirit of Pentecost, for by your power and indwelling, you bring new birth and new life for us all. Gracious God, send your Holy Spirit upon us and this water, that Cooper, buried with Christ in baptism, may rise with him to newness of life. And grant that being born anew of water and the Holy Spirit, he may remain forever in the number of your faithful children. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. Following Cooper's baptism, we will sing the blessing, and you'll find the words at hymn 796. Is he asleep? Yes. Oh, here we are. Is that okay? Hey, there we are now. Oh, you're lovely. Oh, you're waking up. Hey, do you remember me? When I went to visit the family recently, all he did was smile. Are you getting to that today? Hey? There we are. Oh, you're a great boy. Now, Cooper, Ronnie, Thornton, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and dwell in your heart forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. Oh, there he is.
Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Well, we go over here, hey? Oh, there's a lot of people here that you recognize, don't you? Hey? There we are. You're doing well, aren't you? Hey? Oh. Have you a wee smile? Hey? There we are. You're taking everything in. There we are now. We'll give you back to Daddy. Hey? You're quite heavy. You're really a good solid wee boy, hey? There you are now. I'll give you back to Daddy there. Is that all right? There you are. Oh, you're just great all together.
Let us pray. Good and gracious God, sustain Cooper with the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Amen. Cooper, child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Dave and Linda, your child now belongs to God and Christ. From this day, the Christian community is his home, and there will always be a place kept for him within it. And you are witnesses of his baptism. Tell him of it and share with him the treasure that he has been given so that he might understand his baptism and in the fullness of time make his own response in faith and in love. Do you then promise, God being your helper, to make your home a Christian home and to bring your child up in the faith of Christ and in the fellowship of the church? If so, answer, we do. And now the congregation's turn to make promises. Friends and members of the congregation in this community of faith, do you welcome Cooper and renew your commitment with God's help to live before all God's children in a kindly and Christian way and to share with them the knowledge and the love of the risen Christ? If so, answer, we do.
We do. Let us pray. God of love, we rejoice again to receive your grace in word and sacrament. We have heard your call and are made new by your Spirit. Today we thank you for Cooper and for all that stretches before him. The possibilities and discoveries you hold in store, and for the times we will share with him in the years to come. Almighty God, as we rejoice in your love shown on the cross and in the empty tomb, we thank you for the love that surrounds Cooper, the care of his parents and big sister Summer, the support of family and friends, the prayers of this fellowship, and your own everlasting arms. Almighty God, we pray for Dave and Linda as they seek to be good parents to Cooper. Give them the wisdom and insight they need as they seek to bring Cooper up in a Christian home. And watch over Cooper, that in every circumstance of life he will know your love and find peace in your promise to be with him always. God of grace, in whose church there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, help us to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to profess with our whole lives the one true faith, and to live in love and unity with all who are baptized in his name, through that same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns and is worshipped and glorified with you, Father and the Holy Spirit, one God forever. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, the glory, forever. Amen. Now, we've got a flower to present. I think we'll maybe give this to Summer, will we? Will that be all right? Will you take that on behalf of your wee brother? There you are. And we've also got this Good News Bible, a Bible that tells us of God's love and the wonderful story of Easter. And so we present this as a token of our love and an assurance of the prayers that will follow Cooper all his days. We'll maybe give the Bible and certificate to Matthew, Would that be all right? There you are. You might want to have a wee read of it yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, let us welcome Cooper. It is good that there's a number of boys and girls in the church today, and I would say to you that you're very welcome after the service to come down and take away a cream egg. I've put on a wee bit of weight recently, not least as a result of the fellowship following the Holy Week services last week. The baking was unbelievable, and I felt obliged to sample it. But a big thank you to everyone who donated baking for the fellowship following the service here last Tuesday evening. I wish you all a very happy Easter. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen. Let us raise the roof with our final hymn, 419, Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. May the God of peace who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, guard and watch over you, and the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you, now and forevermore.